You guys are amazing. Yeah, well done to the band. You guys are amazing. You came on a holiday. You're in the house of God. Give yourself a praise. Okay, now, you can't give yourself a bigger praise than Jesus. Let's give Jesus praise. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We worship you. That's why we are here today, to make a noise unto him. Great. While you are standing, I just want to honor my pastor, Pastor Art Bosov, head of CRC, and then my pastor, Pastor Henia. You know, Pastor Art Bosov is a lion and one of the biggest preachers you'll ever see in time, in season. Pastor Henny, who founded this church here, y'all founded the church here where I come from. And then Pastor Brian. Pastor Brian last night said, you haven't even left Kimberley. He says, I miss my people already. You know, he loves you so much. He sent his love to you guys. I said, now I'll tell you. And now people can come here and say, but why do you honor these people? I know it's irritating sometimes. Who of you feel irritated? Can you put up your hand? Let me see. You feel irritated. I tell you why. In the heaven, in God's heaven, it's a big thing. You must never forget, when you eat the fruit, who is the one who planted the seed for the tree? You must never, never forget. That thing will help you if you can remember that. Amen, amen. You can take your seat. My name is Martin Bevier. I'm from CRC Kimberley. I'm from Kimberley. I am planting the church in Katu. This is my house. This is my house. I come from here. My brothers, my sisters are here, and they send me out to plant the church there in Katu. And Pastor Henny had the spiritual guts to send me out when I was 50 years old. I mean, many people give up on life when they're 50 years old and they haven't accomplished anything. Pastor Henny decided, no, you could plant the church as there in Khartoum. And there's one thing that has helped me a lot, and that is to become obedient to the word of God. And you sit here today, and I'm going to preach the message to you, and your obedience will determine where you will land up. That is a fact. I've got a friend in Katu. It's a bit overweight. And I said, hey, you must watch out because you get diabetes too, you know, and then you get this. You know, when I built like me, I'm already obese as well. So I'm not saying, you know, but they warned, hey, you must check out. And then it's a scallop. She goes at night, you know, and eat things. And now she had a health scare, went to the hospital, booked her in there, medical clinic there or whatever. Lynn met, and that woman came near death. Doctor said, hey, you know what? Now you must eat this, and you must go exercise in this. She's exercising now. It's a woman. She exercises now like a beast. She's in a gym. She eats proper food, and she's looking so good and healthy, and she's functioning. She's great, man. And this is only about 3 weeks since the hospital. She looks really great. You see, it's when you listen to the doctor, when you get the right advice, you take it, and you apply it. It'll work for you. If you take this medicine here and you apply it, when God says you must give, you say, yes, I give. When God says forgive that person, you say, yes, I will forgive. And God said, yes, go for baptism. Yeah, I'll go for baptism. When God speaks and you do it, you will be blessed. But when you sit and you I don't think I must go for this. I don't think I do it. You don't know what? That is your problem. You don't do what a doctor asks you to do, which is good for you. Amen? I want to talk to you about King David this morning. His life fell apart, you know, and King David. I mean, just take King David. Now, we all know King David in his story. He gets anointed. They call him from a field. Don't sit down until he's anointed. He comes, stands there, anointed. And the oil runs. Oh, the prophet Samuel come, anoint him with oil. The oil is running down. And I think as he stood there, he must have thought, now all my troubles is over. You know, I'm the king now. I'm anointed by God. I'm called by God. My message today is I'm called by God. I'm anointed, and he stands over there. Well, that's actually when his trouble starts. There's no scripture in the Bible which says, come to Jesus, your trouble is over. Trouble is heading your way, but God is putting your right side up. He is turning things right side up for you, and you must understand it. Why you are persecuted, you must understand why things happened this way. He became a king, a mighty king of Israel. And he got persecuted from day one, basically. He got outcast from day one. And he stayed in caves. And he stayed in difficult situations. And the useless people that followed him at stages. And so what happened in the meantime, his character got built. And when he became a king one day, he was a mighty king at 30 years old. When he was 29, it was the Ziklag incident that happened over there. They took his wife, his children, everything. But King David always, he went to pray to God. God, what do you say? And God told him, yes, pursue them. You know why he was so mighty? Because the Bible tells us in Daniel 11, 32, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And he knew God, because whenever he was in the cave, wherever he went, I'm going to counsel God, not my bank manager, not my home zone leader, not my pastor. I'm going to counsel God, oh, not the prophet. I'm coming to God myself. The people know their God. Some of you go to prophets and stuff, you stop it. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says you can hear from Jesus Christ all by yourself. The prophet will confirm the word, but you don't go there for a word. You set yourself up for a huge failure. I'm telling you now. Now I'm reading you from the Bible now, King, his story. And then what was his response to this? Because now he's getting killed. Saul wanted to kill him with a spear. His son Jonathan come and warned him, hey, you better run, my boy. My father said, I can't become king unless you are king. You are a dead man as you're walking over here. He's a young boy. He's 17 years old. He just killed Goliath. And then he comes there to a place, you know, and then he reconciled himself in God. But I want to read you the story so you understand it. Because some of you are in a cave today. And God, there's two reasons why we struggle in this life here. Number one is because you live in a fallen world. So when a storm comes, it eats everybody. And then because of sin. But both ways, God made a way out for us. Both ways. He goes there, I'm going to read for you in Samuel. 1 Samuel 21 from verse 10. Then David arose and they fled the day from before Saul. And went to Achish, the king of Gath. I mean, you are anointed. You are called. Now you must flee. You are the rightful king. You are a Christian. You are a royal priesthood. The chosen generation. His own special people. And we go, yeah, yeah, hallelujah. And next moment you must hide in a cave. And then you think, yeah, pastor, look what you preach. And look what happened to me. You don't understand why it happened to you. It's to raise you up. Because King David's sons who came after him, they were useless. Why? Because princes doesn't make good kings. Because his father fought the battles, his father overcame the difficulties. They never did. They grew up in a palace. So you have to go through these difficulties and grow your character and stop moaning. You sound like someone who's in a desert. Put your age and put this and every other excuse you can have. While I'm at that, I'm a 10 out of 10. All of you are 10 out of 10. But some of you believe you're only a 5 out of 10. Now, I got someone there in Cosmosburg, my leader there. But he can only invite colored people and black people because he's colored. White people is uncomfortable with. I don't know why. But in Holy Spirit, we're almost 10 out of 10. So last week, Friday, I was here. When the men's team was here, I was here. I was with Pastor Brian out there. And two people came to church. They were from a big political party. They come there with their hats and their religious and those things, you know. And they sit down there. But when they walk in and they sit down, they got a presence there. But we finished up and went. And I went to the bathroom. It's like God telling me, invite these people. Hey, Bongani, come here. I'm going to invite these people. And I went to them. Said to them, hey, guys. No, they're black people. Okay. Because I'm just saying, because I'm a 10 out of 10. I can invite white or black or color because it's the Holy Spirit in me that does the job. And some of you have forgotten who's doing the job. So I went to them. I said, hey man, listen, my brother is preaching tonight. Hey, please come. And they, okay. And they, when we got here, they were here already. I went to Bongani. Now I'm talking in faith. Hey, those guys can get born again. We're going to minister for them at the back. We're going to pray for them. Do you get it? He said, yes. They got born again that night. They are leaders in the province. Now we have to disciple them. But because, you know, they blue tick me, but they don't answer me. But I put Bongani on them. I know I'm not a Buddha. I know I'm an agent of heaven here. I'm wise. Some of you are so stuck in your culture, your tradition. You just sing a song here. We are so stuck in those things. You are useless for the kingdom. Verse 11. And the servant of Ishi said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him? One another dances and sing, Saul has slain his thousands and David's 10,000. But so when he ran away, ran to this people over here, of this king, this place, Gath here, is exactly the place where he killed Goliath. Why he runs back there, I don't know, but he runs there. People say, hey, but this is the king. They acknowledge him as the king. But you are the one. You are the one. They sing this all these amazing songs about. Remember when you got born again, you shine, your face shine, everybody says, you're a man of God. You, this is, and something inside you know you. You don't know me very well, do you? This is what happened here. You are a king, but inside you said, no. I won't give up. He's a king. He is anointed to be a king, but in stature and what he's doing, he's not taking governance. He doesn't take dominion. God is teaching him how to take dominion. And they sing to him all his praises, you know. You know, when you think you come to the kingdom of God, people sing your praises. Hallelujah. You killed these thousands. You stand, the dancing girls were singing these praises. When I got to Katu over there, there were no dancing girls waiting for me and singing for me there. You just had to plant the church. The oldest lady, the oldest home next to me, I go to them. I tell them about Jesus. They think I want to marry an old lady. I'm staying next to the oldest home. They don't sit in their ways because I'm 50. Don't send somebody else 50 to the oldest home. They think you belong there. Verse 12. Yeah, the kingdom is nice, eh? Lekker. Some of you must still head this way. I'm talking to you now. And on this journey, you better get it. I didn't put my tail between my legs and come back. I went to accomplish what I was sent to do. And we're all called. You are called. I'm called. You accomplish what God called you to do. You build a home cell. You invite people. You are a 10 out of 10. And stop putting your culture, tradition, your differences up as a front. When you get born again, there's no difference between a Greek and a Jew or nobody before God. Everybody is equal. And you better treat them as equal. David took this word to heart and was very much afraid. There's a king. He's anointed. He's afraid. It's okay to be afraid. He was very much afraid. So he changed his behavior before them. Framed madness in their hands. Scratched on the doors of the gate. And let his saliva fall down his beard. Now he's making as if he's mad. And it worked. Then Aziz said to his servants, look, you see, the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went there down to him. Because now his mothers and father and his brothers, yeah, he's in the cave. They have to go there because they're going to kill them as well. In those days, when you become king, your whole family will be wiped out if you get wiped out. That's how it works. Your descendants don't have a claim to the throne anymore. They kill everybody. Now they must run after him as well. And everybody in distress. And everybody was in debt. So now all the useless people are gathering to him. If that's not painful enough to hide in a cave, everybody who's in debt and everybody who's useless, now they gather unto you. In your home cell, there's only people that owes money to the bank for the cars. And then you, and there's somebody sitting in your same home cell, and they owe you money. You know how painful that is. This is, yeah, it happened to me while I was in this church here. And then they stand in front of you in church, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're thinking, what the hell? Meantime, God is raising you up to be a warrior, and you're concerned about your little debt. And King David took these men and he made them into mighty warriors. You take those people and you make them mighty warriors. And one thing you do it, you don't tell them about how yourself and your suffering, everything about you. You tell them about Jesus. That's what you do. Otherwise, when you leave the church, they will also leave the church. They want to know God. The people who know that God shall be strong. You must just lead them to God. And then you better believe the word that you're preaching to them as well. Because when you preach, look, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say, the things that I do, you shall do also. And you tell people, oh, there's a mighty signs. Jesus said, we will do also. And now your people believe it, but you don't believe it. Now they come to you for pray for healing. And you can say, oh God, this one is very sick. They believe, but you don't believe. When your home's a leader, you better start believing the word. You can't expect the people to believe the word above you. And you have to toe the line. I had a guy here work for me. Man, the guy annoyed me. I can bring the gospel to him one day. He's in my business. I read the Bible to him every day. And while I'm reading the Bible, he's going to cut on a bandsaw. His name is Christy. So I chased Christy away. Chase you away. Now I'm church. Now afterwards, God's working with my heart. Because every single day from there on, wherever I go in this town here, there's Christy. And then I go, there's Christy. After about 7 years, I said, God, what's this Christy business? He said, yeah, but I must ask him an apology. I said, but I'm the boss. I'm the boss like. And then God said, but it's not for you. It's for him. He is suffering. Sure. What do? I go to my business, pick up the phone. Hey, Christy. I'm sorry, man. Today I see Christy riding around. We can wave each other. Man. God restored us. You see, you have to obey God, man. It's okay to say one thing in church and sit here and hallelujah. It comes to exercise, but God's asking you to raise you up. That's what is important. God asks you to give, you give. And I want to just make a dunk. I want to make my stomach easy. You can't do that. Because your spirit and your brain work two different operations. Your mind must agree with your spirit, man, what the Bible says. Everybody was in trace, so he became a captain over them. Now he became a captain over all his people. Him as a cast out and there. But the anointing was with David. That's why they will be successful. The anointing on the person that you pursue, that will make the difference in your life. Amen. Hallelujah, man. I'm so blessed by that. Just before that, I'm reading that piece I read him. He went there to a temple. He don't have no bread, no weapons, no nothing. He comes to the priest. Hey, man, please, give me bread. He says, why are you alone? He says, no, Saul, now he's lying. To the priest. That's the anointed one. Saul sent me very urgent business. I had no time to collect bread or my weapons. Then he eats the bread, the show bread, and he says, do you have weapons? He says, yeah, the sword with which you killed Goliath with this year. He said, that's right. So he gave him the sword. In the middle of your negativity and when you think everything is dropping away, God will bring a testimony that you have back to you. You can carry that. He says, but I remember now who I am. I remember. I'm hiding in a cave, but I will remember who I am. And you know, many Christians of us today, even here, when you come into trouble, you have a problem. Watch what said that one again or that one again. You complain. But look what King David did. I want you to see what he did because God said, I find a man after my heart. He's my heart. He says, Psalm 57 verse 1. This is what King David wrote while he was in that very cave. Just see what he's saying and what he's doing. Because we do get to our caves. All of us. He said, be merciful to me, O God. O God, now you have to have mercy on me. Be merciful to me. For my soul, trust in you. May cop my soul, trust in you. When you get born again, your body, a soul, and a spirit. Your spirit, man, is secure. You're going to heaven. That's fine. That's settled. It's your mind which can agree with the enemy, with the devil, and you exercise what the devil asks you to do by withholding or whatever, or not forgiving. The devil convinces you in your mind, then you don't walk in a prosperity which God has planned for you. So your mind has to be, my soul trust upon you. Say with me, my soul trust upon you. Okay, those of you who didn't say that, my soul trust upon you. I'm not scared to come down and confront you one-on-one. I suffered from rejection for a long time. God healed me from that. I chased you out. I got no problem whether you like me or not. Ek is nie 'n boer nie. Ek sê, you know, I'm a child of God. This house here is a cooking pot, this house. From here, God used to send people out like Pastor Aiden, populating big churches from this house here. You must see the fruit. You must see what this house, that's why in this house, you will have problems. In this house, you'll have issues, you'll be in a cave. But in this house, you'll hear His voice and you have to operate in order to stand up and be sent out. In order to stand up and go out. This house here. Other churches know it's fine, man. Sit maar net so. You don't have to do nothing. We play music for you and we give a prophecy and a this and this and you go home. Next Sunday you're back. In your life, dololo. Nothing is happening. Because you don't walk in faith. My soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. So God, I'm in a cave here. But I'm going to stick out with you now. Not with the naysayers, not with these 400 people or my family. With you and you alone. Until these calamities have passed by. Until God, all the problems have been solved, I will stick it out with you. And some of you have to say today, God, until the problems is solved, I will stick it out with you. That means you spend time with God, you pray, you read your Bible. TikTok is taking that time, you delete TikTok. Some old people are 15, 16 on TikTok. What the hell? Supposed to teach your children the way. New TikTok queen. With 2 followers. I don't get it. You're supposed to build a kingdom. Have you seen those goggles? That kills me. I should delete my account just when I see the go-go. Say, you're also a go-go. Better delete this thing now before you also make a video. You're supposed to help people and show another generation how to lead by God's grace. Show how to pray. You older people, your gray hairs, you are here for young generation. Don't tell them, I've been there, done that. No. You show them how to pray. You show them how to lead people to Christ. You show them how to build a home. You show them. They don't know. You are anointed. You are called for that. We need old people. You can make waves. Young people got energy and everything around us. They says, what must I do? We will show them. Come, this is how you pray. You lay hands. And you don't pray those long prayers. Marco Polo prayers. You come from India. You pray all the whole world. You come back. You say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then you walk away. I know most of the story. I was here in Kimberley Hospital, praise on a Bertie, new people, for a long time. There was one guy, I remember, he was from Kumunukwe, busy dying there in a corner. And the family was there, and I must go pray for him. Oh, I prayed that day fervently, a long prayer. I prayed long. God, help this man, help his family. I prayed for about an hour. Then after hour, I pray now, I release myself because I've done my bit most. Now the family can see I prayed most very hard. But none of that prayer was in the Bible. Jesus comes to a sick woman and says, stand up. Another guy, take your bed and walk. Go wash your eyes. He just command them. You command. Not those emotional prayers. Oh, here I help us a belief. So when you long and you see things doesn't work, you have to change. You must pray like Jesus prayed. Like the apostles prayed. When this thing come along, you pray like, I don't know, let's just leave it there. Verse 2, I will cry out to God Most High, who performs all things for me. He performs everything for you, Sir Madam. You have to believe it. You know, I believe the Bible so much. My wife, she got a hysterectomy. Eh? And I said to her the other day, do you want another child? She said, but I had a hysterectomy. I said, but I can pray. She says, no, I don't want another child. Okay, then that's settled. Ach, guys, please. I'm talking about real faith here. Why will God not do it? I also make mistakes. I made mistakes in Kimberley. About 3 months ago, me and Pastor Brian, we sat there outside the guest house. And here comes this guy walking out here. He walk with a limp. So he's walking there, short pants, with one, it's got a band on one knee. I say, hey, sir, look back. What's that guy's his name? Oleander. Sit there. Hey, sir, yeah. Can I pray for your leg, man? What leg? That one with the band, that one that saw. Guy, look at me. He's even, Brian, Pastor Brian says to me, hey, Marty, you call me Marty. I don't know why Marty. I'm not too feminine, am I? But I mean, hey, Marty. Stop it, Marty, Marty, Marty. I said, the guy, I'm going to pray for your leg, man. The guy ignores me, he walks off. When he walks off, I could see. It was a plastic leg. I just wonder if God allowed me to go pray for him and touch that leg. What my faith would have been like. I can't tell you. I don't know. I'm glad God didn't allow that. But now I must recover myself. I said, Brian, that guy missed out on a good leg today. I'm a faith person, man. I'm going to speak negative things. Just as I said that, the guest house owner, woman, can walk past me there. And, hey, do you have a boyfriend? No. So then you must come to church, to CRC church. I invite her to church. I had a guy there. I'm making disciples, man. I can make a mistake here, and then I fix it from over here. It wasn't a mistake. That guy missed out on a leg. I believe it. I'd rather believe God. Well, when I see a guy like that again, I'm going to... But if God says, pray for a plastic leg, I'll pray. That's who we are, man. What do you worry about your name? Your name is worth nothing. It's his name. It's his name. Huh? We are making disciples. We bring people in home cell. You know, you mustn't wait for things to run perfectly before you feel good. When I got sent out to plant the church over there, I had two old people in my home cell. The third one has died. Christ dood gegaan. And I don't understand what's going on here, but I just kept every day inviting people, every day disciple people. I never stopped. When I got there, it was just young people come to church. I'm the oldest. But I kept on. And Ian Oman, he always brings his brandy with, his whiskey with, through himself. And then, when himself's over, he pours but in. I just said, it's my one. But I rebuke a 60-year-old man. I mean, he's saved. He's going to heaven, whiskey and all. Jesus says, water into wine. Don't become so religious, eh? And God tells you to pray for someone with a wooden leg, pray for the leg. What the hell do you care? Maybe it just stirs your faith up. Maybe that's your cave you must be in. I do not know. Maybe you must just die to yourself. We become so wise. Oh no, I can pray for that, but I can't pray for that. I can pray for that. I can pray for anything. My wife's womb will come alive when I pray for that. I guarantee you. She's scared for me to pray for that. He shall send from heaven and save me. Sure. When I'm in a cave, when I'm in darkness, he will send from heaven and he will. This is King David now, huh? Anointed, run in a cave in a very bad condition. That's what he says. Selah, that means think about it. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Now he's confessing his faith. He's just confessing his faith. And Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I can just see Peter walking on the water there. Jesus said, come. And you walk. And then he sink. He says, help me. And Jesus help him. And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. And what I actually hear what Jesus is saying is, Peter, you've done so well. You've walked on the water. If you only could focus on me, you would have made it. Keep your eyes on Jesus, man. You'll make it. You don't give up. That's what David did. Keep your eyes on the Lord, the author and the finisher of your faith. Verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all in the earth. So he's praising God now. You are there. You made the heavens and the earth. You are just God. You can help me. I'm in a situation. I will stay with you. Your mercy, your grace. And he's just praising God. And maybe when you're in a cave like this, you must go write the psalm yourself to God. Write the psalm. Write, say, God, you are so great and so awesome to me, man. I don't understand everything that's happening in my life. Write the psalm. Write the psalm. Write it to God. Keep your mind on God. Keep your mind on God. My heart is steadfast, oh God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give you praises. My heart, he says, my heart is steadfast. Maybe some of you must say, my heart is steadfast. Even though your heart is not steadfast, don't say, my heart is not steadfast. You say, my heart is steadfast. And the weak say, I'm strong. I am strong. You say, my heart is steadfast. I will praise you. I'll keep myself in whatever you called me to do. And I will not lose heart. Doesn't matter what happened. Many people are in caves today. And God's building up to be mighty people of God. I think now of the prophet as well, Elijah. He was hiding in a cave. Why was he hiding there? Because Jezebel sent a message. Hey, I'm going to kill you like you kill the prophets. And some of us, you get lame just by a message. You hear a message, you're going to get fired and your back starts feeling numb. They're going to take your house back or your car. Or your back is becoming numb and you must know this feeling. Huh? You don't know what to do. And he felt that. He ran hide in a cave. In the cave, he was looking for God, and God was not in the wind. God wasn't in a storm. God wasn't still small voice. He was looking for God. The people who know their God shall be strong. And he came out there, he was strong again. We have to come to a place when you're in a cave that you're seeking God. Someone else is Abram. Oh, I love this one in Genesis 15. He sits there in his tent. He says to God, he's talking to God. You see, they're talking to God, not to a prophet. I don't know for who this is. You better stop that prophet thing and get it out of your system very quickly. I don't know for who it is. I see from your laugh. I get no class, Jay. Think, what did Jay pass to her? Yeah, to my, you can't your Ali sing. Don't worry. And how he then got restored. His power walk over there. And the day, here is Abraham. Complained to God. God, seeing that I go die now and you give me no offspring. He's having an honest conversation with God. Like I'm having a conversation with my wife. Don't change who you are when you come to God. Say, so, oh, yeah, I went for you. Thank you, sir, for your dog. Talk to your wife. Hey, Jonah, let's go make it. You talk to God in a normal voice. You talk to God, oh, here I am, but I help. He said, who's that? Is he playing a comic now, like King David there? God made you. He knows your distress. He knows where you are at. You cry out to him. And that's what Abram did. Abram was a friend of God. He says, oh, God, I'm going to die now. You give me no offspring. What God says, hey, come out of your tent of discouragement. Come out of your negativity. Can you see the stars? I have a different picture for your life. The picture you had in here is you're going to die and have no offspring. No, come out here. Can you see the stars? That's how it's going to be. He was already old. No Viagra. No nothing. He's dead. His loins is dead. His wife's womb is like a prune. Dead. And the Bible says, and he believed God. The Bible says, and he believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. When he believed God, he was counted righteous. So don't point the finger at someone else, because if they believe God, they are righteous. You do not want to come up against a righteous person. He wasn't a good person, Abraham. He gave his wife away twice. She's so beautiful, kings come and take his wife away from him. Twice he lied, like kind of half a lie. But he was righteous. And then God tells him to go pray for the king's wives who couldn't get children, who are barren, but he's barren himself. Him, his wife. That's God. The first healing taking place when somebody pray for someone is Abraham praying for the king so they can be fruitful. Because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We cannot stop praying. Now they're getting children, he's still barren, but he believes God. And God came through for him. And I don't know whom here today needs to hear this word. But you have to believe God, it shall come to pass. And how many people are giving up in the cave? And I want to read you something here, a story, in closing. When he was 55 years old, J.C. Penney, when he was 55 years old, J.C. Penney was tempted to think that his life is over. He was in a terrible health, along with being $7 million in debt. He could have said, I'm giving up, I quit. I declare bankruptcy. However, he refused to focus on his circumstances. Instead, he majored on the possibilities. By the time he was 90 years old, he had not only regained what was lost, but he was ahead of a tremendous financial empire, one continues to bear his name until today. You might feel that you want to give up, but giving up is easy. Anyone can quit and walk away from life. However, it takes courage to go on. And it appears as every avenue has been blocked and every opportunity has been removed. The Bible says, cast your cares on the Lord. Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. And as you mean, roll over your cares to him. Roll over your cares to him. And then you trust him with the consequences as well. Not just with that, trust him with the consequences. It took me a couple of months to get that thing underneath. And some of you have been sitting in church for so long, when I preach this word here, just go over your head. And maybe you must stop a little bit and think. Do you really cast your care on the Lord or not? Are you tomorrow still complaining? I was staying in a guest house next to our late home. That woman, she inflicted a lot of pain on us. We had to break down something. And I didn't like this woman. God told me to forgive her, so I forgive her. Every day she walked past the guest house, I go, hello, Arlette. Hello, Arlette. My heart wasn't in the mix, but my emotions, I obey God. Eventually, my heart caught up. What God asked me to do, we became big friends. That house didn't sell. House didn't sell in Kimberley, and I was in trouble. I needed financial assistance. I needed help. And I was casting my cares on the Lord. God, I'm casting my cares on you, for you care for me. And someone comes and says, I buy this house. I said, praise the Lord. I take this guy to the bank. My bank manager was David Castle. He's one of the hard, if you don't know if you are here, hopefully you got born again somewhere, because he was so hard that mine. He pushed down everything you bring to him. And I go to David Castle. David, I got someone else buying the house. He said, okay, very good. And then 2 weeks later, no, this guy's canceled. You can't have it. The guy who mining diamonds come. I had 6 people there. They all fell through. Nobody buy the house. And every time my hope gets up, my hope gets down. And I'm one morning I wake up. I said, God, let them take this house. Let them take my car, everything. Let them just keep my wife and my kid, my daughter. Please, man, it's all I'm asking you. And when I said that to God, he said to me, now you've cast your care on me, I can take care of you. You see, when I released everything, he says, now you've cast your care on me, I can take care of you. 7 months, I learned this lesson. And who can walk in the door there? I led. She says, I want to buy this house to be part of my guest house, Yada. And she bought it cash for the amount we wanted. Cast your care. It's not just saying something, it's doing it. It's doing it. Some of you need to walk out here today by doing it. If you have accident, you gone come cold today. God knows where you are at. He wants you to repent. He said, God, I'm coming back. I don't care how long you've been serving in this church. I'll read you Psalm 139 and I'm closing. Prayer. Oh Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my pain and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For it's not a word on my tongue, but behold, oh Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. That's Jesus. And if I say, surely darkness shall fall upon me, even the night shall be light around me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Guys, God is for you He's rooting for you every moment. You come back to God today. And you sit here, maybe someone invited you to church and you feel uncomfortable. Let me assure you, when you come to God, when you walk down the aisle over there, come here to receive your salvation. Jesus is walking alongside with you. He's marrying up with you. And He says, Hebrews 13 verse 5, I can never leave nor forsake you. That's why He says, where can I go from your presence? And what do? You go sit with Him today. You say, God, this is my problem. My home cell doesn't grow. I feel so useless. Oh God, I can't invite people. Whatever your situation might be, or Lord, my financial issues. I had a financial giant I killed in this house. It took me a couple of years, 6 years, 7 years. But I killed it. When I killed my financial giant because I obeyed God, I was sowing. I know Pastor Brian is here. He come preaching here for giving, sighing, and his car standing next to the road here. He got no petrol in his car. But he believed the word. So we're believing the word of God and we walk in the word. And then God manifested. First you believe and then you receive. He's walking with you down the aisle over here. He's marrying up with you. He can never leave you. And He purchased you with His blood. It's still the thing that forgives you sins, the blood. Nothing else, the blood. So maybe you feel new here. You're some new church, maybe new environment. Listen to me. The Bible says, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you confess me before people, my angels confess you before heaven. So today when you confess Jesus Christ, your name is being confessed in heaven. I was so discouraged a while ago. Two people got born again. I thought 10. I prayed for 20. But two people got born again. And God rebuked me. He said to me, in heaven right now, there's a party. Because of one sinner that repents. And here you sit with your indifferent attitude. You represent the kingdom of heaven. You're supposed to be happy with heaven. If you step out today, the heaven is happy. And I'm happy for you. And we all will be happy for you. What's required of you? Jesus standing next to you and says to you now, right now, what do you say about me? What do you say about the word you heard this morning? What do you say about it? He wants a verdict from you. Commitment from you. And that is it. And you cast your care on Him and you learn how He operates and you learn how He works and how His voice sounds. You don't have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. Just love Him. So wherever you sit, I don't know, just close your eyes and bow your head. And I say everybody, I mean everybody. He came here this morning and said, Pastor, that's me. Man, I need to refire. I need to come back. Things gone old. I'm like that lady with diabetes. I didn't hear the word. I didn't obey what God is asking me to do. But I want to come back today. I need to be refreshed and refire. So you'll notice it in the way you walk in health. And in victory. Maybe somebody brought you to church today. They drag you here. Maybe you're here with your three-piece suit and you feel uncomfortable. The same Jesus, sir, that came for us, is here for you this morning. What He wants from you is your response. The most important thing is your response. So God, I'm here. Use me. Like I said, this is 50-year-old. God, use me, man. Imagine what God can do for you and through you if you respond to Him. If that's you this morning, say, Pastor, that's me. Because Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but by me. Everyone who accepted Jesus Christ can come to the Father. That's the only way. It's no religion. It's a real relationship I'm talking about. If that's you this morning, yeah, well, every head's bowed, eyes closed, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray a prayer of faith over you this morning. Slip up your hand high. Yeah, bless you, man. Bless you, ma'am. Bless you. God has favor upon you. I know. Every single person repents and comes to God. God takes in and have favor upon him. Maybe you're coming back. If you haven't slipped up your hand yet, say, Pastor, I need to refire, man. Sir, I come to this altar, this same church here, to the altar many times. Not once. I'm so thankful I obey God. Pastor, I need to refire this morning, man. If that's you, slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Come on. We pray a prayer of faith here. Don't let your religion, your tradition keeps you away. Children's hands is going up here. Young people's hands going up. Where's our older people? Maybe your mother is leaving your father. And you don't know what to do, you youngster. So you can pray. God will give them their love back for one another. But it starts with Him. He can do all things. Maybe you have a difficulty in your marriage. You run out of clues. You run out of options. The right answer is Jesus. In everything, you keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You say, Pastor, today I'm coming back on that one. I need to be refreshed and refired. And I love our young people, man. Your heart is soft, man. The way you put up your hand, your heart is soft, man. That was King David's heart. He was soft, man. Come on. Don't let your heart be so hard when you grow older and get set in your ways. We are here for Him. Amen and amen. Can all of you stand up, please? Everybody, to put up your hand. I'm going to pray for you. But you're going to be bold now, like I am bold. You're going to come to the front, and everybody's going to be happy for you. And you're going to turn to your neighbor, not your husband, your wife, to someone you don't know. You ask them, amen. Can I walk with you? And bring them to the front here. Come on, come on, let's come. Everybody, put up your hand, come to the front. Everybody, ask your neighbor, ask your father, ask your mother, ask your friend. Everybody, put up your hand, come to the front. God bless you, man. Bless you. Bless you, sir. Bless you, sir. Come on, come on. God got favor upon you. There as well, there as well. Come on, come on. Come on, guys. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, there we go. Come on.
I don't deserve it till you give yourself away. You know the overwhelming ever.
Keep on coming, keep on coming. Keep on clapping, church. Keep on clapping, church. Come on. I shed this. It's all about Jesus. He will help you, man. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Keep on coming. Keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on coming. You still have an uncle to come, you can still come. I wouldn't have been. I was a businessman in this town. Minority Meats was mine. I had four businesses here. And when I turned to God, He called me to the ministry. I had to leave my businesses behind. I had to leave everything else was I believed in behind to start to follow Him. It's a sacrifice, sir, madam. You can't stand over there, have a calling upon your life, and just stand there and say, what can God? God can do everything through you. He needs your obedience. And I'm so thankful I went. I had 20,000 rand in my bank account when I went to plant the church. Nobody gave me a cent. Nobody gave me a cent. I knew God. I trusted Him. We bought ground there. We're going to build this year's structure on there. I'm so thankful I obeyed God. You cannot stand on your seat and feel, God, I can't come to the front. I'm so important. I was just as important as you were. I had four butcheries. I do forsake my life and come to the front. And if you know that's you, you can still come to the front. I'm going to pray for them. Because you are important in the kingdom. Young people, God's going to use you. You are the generation to help restore South Africa. Next in May. You are the people that stand up in a cave where you are. You better believe God for a better future. I know some of you don't come from a situation or a background that's ideal, but neither did King David. He believed God. I want to come back here one day and preach again, and I want to see you serving in this church. I want to see you be on fire, homesalid. I want to see you helping other people. I want to see you growing spiritually. I want to see you being restored. I want to hear how you pray for people and they're getting healed. I want to hear it from you. Because the day when you get born again, Jesus Christ makes business with you. And you go in your room, and you go bend your knee, and you pray to Him. And you call two or three of your friends and tell them, today, I give my life to the Lord. Because people will not see today that you are born again. They will not. But in 3 months' time, a woman who's pregnant today, you can't see she's pregnant. But 6 months, you can see she's pregnant. In 6 months' time, they will see something has changed about your life. They'll come, hey, but what happened? He says, I told you, I'm born again. There will be signs. There will be signs. I'm going to pray with you a prayer of faith, and you pray with me. So just lift up your hands and close your eyes, and everybody put your hand towards Him. Let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I accept You, my Lord and Savior. Thank You, Lord, that Your blood has paid for all my sins. I am righteous because of You. And thank You, God, as of today, I love Your word. I love Your church. I love Your voice. And Holy Spirit, come in my life. Be my best friend. Lead me and guide me to my purpose and my plan. In Jesus' name. And thank You, God. According to Your word, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray from these ones, You'll raise up giants, Father. You'll raise up the lions, Father, King David's. Your hand is heavy upon Your children. In this hour, where there's confusion in this world, You'll bring these ones up. There will be a shining light. It's my prayer over them, and they will have good shepherds over them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen.